Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May you be seated for our meeting.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? I suppose the answer to that depends entirely on who you're asking to make that definition. The simple answer is that those of us who believe in Jesus and what he did for us in his life, death, and resurrection. But you see, that's not always the answer that you get. The media today is likely to define Christians as people who are quick to judge others and look down on those people over there. You know who I'm talking about, right? Your average non-churchgoer may look at Christians and define them by the things that they don't do. Often there are Christian groups in our nation who don't drink or use nicotine, or side with the latest movement in society dealing with sexuality. They are certainly not people who want to involve themselves with those. Even inside our own church walls, many times the Christian is defined by doing the right thing, saying the right thing, and acting in certain ways, like there's a lot of rules to follow. But the reality is, there are a lot of rules to being a Christian. In fact, there are whole books in the Bible that are filled with instructions on how to live and how not to live. Take Leviticus, for example. After giving the law at Sinai, God lays out exactly how the people are to live. Day by day, instructions on how to be holy people before God. And it's not just Leviticus either. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we learn what it means to live a life pleasing to God. We know the rules. And every day we know that we need to live up to them. But we know that we don't. Oh, we try, but that only leads us to the conclusion that we can't do it. This is the point that Paul is making this morning in our epistle reading. He knew what was expected of him, and he knew he could not do it. So we come to the only conclusion to us, then that makes sense. We hide the truth. When we get together with friends, or maybe we gather for a neighborhood get-together, even here on Sunday morning at church, we come with the intent to hide the very worst parts of ourselves, the broken parts, the recurring sins. Because we know that if anyone saw them, we ourselves would be devastated that someone found out, and perhaps our friends and family would never speak to us again. So we hide the truth to keep from becoming outcasts, convinced that that's exactly what would happen if anyone knew the truth about us. So when we give in to this way of thinking, which we all do to some extent, then the Christian life becomes little more than an exercise and how I can hide my sin from others so that I can keep up appearances. This can be quite damaging, insofar as when all we do is keep up appearances, we move along the lie that being a Christian is first and foremost about being good people. That's the very thing that keeps us stuck into this cycle of trying harder and harder. It's when we fall short, when we don't make the mark that we're aiming for, the solution is to simply pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off of the dust, and try again. But something seems off about that, doesn't it? We know it's not supposed to be this way, so we really buckle down and we commit ourselves to do better. Or perhaps we bring in another person, someone to commit to, or to hold us accountable. Sometimes we even do that with God. You see, because this time we're serious. This time we're going to get it right. Starting today, starting this very morning, we are going to live the way God wants us to live. So that's what we do. We get really serious, and I mean really serious about this. And we put all our effort into it, and we finally get it right. For a while, anyway. 10, 20, maybe 40 minutes, and we've already fallen by the wayside. Maybe it's that slow driver you're stuck behind on Highway 20, or the neighbor's dog using your yard again, or a recurring thought that just won't stay away. And there you are. Everything has fallen apart, and you're right back where you started. The people of Israel did this all the time, thinking over and over and over, committing themselves to God and to his law, only to find themselves chasing after worldly desires and false gods of other nations. And you know, things haven't really changed all that much. Even Paul cries out in anguish about this, knowing that when he commits himself to the good, it's evil that he does. No matter how hard he tries, no matter how much effort, his conclusion is simple. What a wretched man I am. And we know Paul's right, because we experience the exact same thing. We do the things we know we shouldn't, and we don't do the things we know we should. We simply cannot break out of that cycle. And in the end, wearied, exhausted, exposed, we can only conclude that either this is all a lie, or that there is something fundamentally broken and wrong inside each one of us as individuals, because we simply cannot do it. It is into this reality that Jesus speaks to us this morning. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the Christian life has never been about trying to be better people, and it never will be, because of one important fact. Well, actually, maybe two important facts. It is that we are both saint and sinner at the same time. See, earlier in Paul's letter, he describes that while we were still sinners, God died for the ungodly. The blood of Jesus covers us so that the Father reconciles us back to himself, declaring us righteous, saints, as the phrase goes. And yet we still remain sinners who are justified by faith. Saint and sinner. And there is great freedom in owning both of these realities, because we don't have to pretend anymore. We get to be real, true, honest sinners with real, true, and a powerful Savior. When we fall short, when We should not, when we fall short, we should not be surprised, because we're not in our eternal home yet. Nor do we invest endless amounts of time and energy trying harder. For we know that as sinners, anything that starts with us is doomed to failure. But praise be to God, for that burden, that yoke, that trying harder has been carried by Jesus. Jesus carried the burden of every shortfall, that is, every time we could not keep God's rules. Jesus, in his life, death, and ministry, carried the yoke of obedience, the one that to us feels like being trapped in an endless cycle. Jesus' perfect obedience, the perfect keeping of every law, is given to us, and it's counted for us. Jesus even took the whole burden of the entire world's sin, yours, mine, everyone's. He took them upon himself when he died on the cross at Calvary, paying the price for every single one of them. By faith, we wear that yoke of Jesus, which is neither heavy nor burdensome. For Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." For this very reason, we continue to come here each week, because the reality is we constantly forget who we are. Many of us will walk out those back doors here within the next hour. Some of you off to lunch, maybe some of you down to City Beach to continue celebrating the 4th of July weekend, maybe the rest of you home. And although we hold Jesus' words near and dear to us, and we embrace his love for us, we'll still start living as if it depends on how hard we try. So each week after week, we all need to be reminded, and I as much as anyone, that this is who we are. We are loved by God. You are loved not because of what you have done or can do or ever will do. You are loved because you are a creation of the God of the universe, who has marked you with water in his word in baptism. He is the one that invites you to come to his table completely empty-handed, so that he may fill you with himself, with his very body and blood in the bread and wine. You are loved not because you try harder or you get it right this time, or because maybe someday you will get it right. You are loved because of what Jesus has already done for you. He has died your death, and he has given you life so that you don't have to pretend to be somebody ever again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.
Stand with us.